outside, you know.
And, you know, the community, we don't have a ton of time, but just to say that this is an unincorporated community in a very rich city, which is, in fact, a wine boom town that depends on brown folks, oftentimes undocumented, to do the work. And they don't even get the police department that might know who they are, that might come from their community. They are unincorporated, and it is very apartheid-like. So thank you for bringing that up. And again, we wish you the best and stay warm.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you.
All right. And we have Marlene from San Francisco. Marlene.
I can't say thank you enough, and I appreciate the community. I'm part of the 99%. If I could drive, I would be up there in Santa Rosa, as the sheriff's department should be, helping those people. Nothing is harder than losing a child. I know I've lost children. They would be up there helping rebuild that. If they didn't do it, why aren't they out there like they should be, like decent people would be? That's all I've got to say.
I want to thank you for sharing that with us. And again, you're listening to your daily investigative news magazine, Flashpoints, on Pacifica Radio. And we're taking just a couple more calls, maybe one or two more. And we've got Aaron from Santa Rosa. Aaron, yes.
Yes. I would just like to say that I am in full support of the Andy Lopez justice movement, but I don't feel like blaming anybody or saying it's arson before we know the facts is limiting.
Right, well, I don't think anybody said it was arson, but people did say, based on their treatment by the police and law enforcement, and the fact that the guy who filled Andy Lopez with 7 bullets, first kill shot, they're suspicious, given all that they've experienced. Nobody made the final accusation.
You've been listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. Stay tuned for It Takes a Village with your host, Shahid Hamid. Welcome to our first edition of 2014, It Takes a Village. And it is fitting that we begin the year recognizing the work of the World Arts Foundation as they recognize the work and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. With me to talk about this year's celebration is the founder and guiding spirit of the World Arts Foundation and the King Day celebration, Mr. Ken Berry, former KBOO programmer and, of course, community activist. We'll be back with a discussion of the work of the World Arts Foundation as it relates to this year's celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. keeping the dream alive in just a moment. To your old stomping ground, KBOO Radio.
Oh, thank you so much, Shahid, for asking us to come. I was just listening to you and watching and observing and just appreciating and gratifying and being thankful of the fact that we stand not only on the shoulders of those who have passed on before us, we stand on the shoulders of those who are among us. And Shahid, we thank you. I couldn't help but just think, as looking around the studio right now, the late George Page, who got our started many, many years ago with the African-American Soul Strip right here on KBOO in 1980. And thanks to Shahid and his vision, he said, why don't we get together and plan like the village should plan? And we spent many Saturday afternoons planning and thinking and strategizing, how can we put a Soul Strip together right here in Portland? And
that's
Shahid,
right.
We want to honor you and thank you and also congratulate you, because you're going to be one of our honorees on this year, the 29th annual Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King tribute with the theme of Old Freedom. So we want to thank you. And I also want to thank Teresa Rufford, who's been along with us, who, again,
most
our
definitely.
Goal as we become older, is talking about standing on the shoulders, is now time to begin to start passing the baton on. And Teresa's been a tremendous impact on what we have done this year with her vision and with her work, I mean, tirelessly, 24 hours a day.
Right,
and Donnie
right.
Adair, who right. basically had retired some years ago, but for some reason he still sticks right along with us. Our master of ceremonies, our brainchild, who basically makes sure that we have the necessary literary presentation that we need to have within the context of the program. And also in the studio, we have Janice and also Spanky Hopkins, who's out there, and along with AJ Wan, who's going to be with us this year. We're excited. The reason we're excited is because we have a new direction we're going this year, not just the performing arts and speaking, but also documentation and educating, because as the saying goes, if we don't understand our history, we're doomed to repeat it. So thanks to Teresa, thanks to AJ Wan, thanks to Michael Grice, thanks to Jeff Brooks, just to name a few of the folks. We are very excited about this year's program, because we are not only just going to entertain, but we are also going to provide education so that we make sure our young people are aware of their past. Donnie, Teresa, what would you like to say about it so far?
Let me jump in and do my job for the last 29 years. And
what is your job?
To let people know who we are, what we're doing, and where we're going to be. And we are the World Arts Foundation Incorporated.
Yes.
And this will be the 29th annual celebration of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the holiday, January 20th, 2014, and we're going to be out at Anthem Conference Center, formerly New Beginnings, and it's located at 3300 Northeast 172nd Avenue. That's 172nd off Sandy Boulevard in Portland, and we got seats for 1,600 people.
All right.
We've got the Dream Village with a lot of community organizations and vendors displaying and selling their wares, and we just going to have a good time. There's going to be a lot of people participating this year.
Broadcast live right here on KBOO.
That's right.
Right. And we want to thank KBOO, who's been doing this for
more
than 30 years. They started, the program started really in these studios and just outgrew the studios. So we ended up going to Whitaker Middle School, then to Jefferson's Performing Arts Center, then over to University of Portland for two or three years, came back to Jefferson, was at Highland Christian Center, and then now we're at Anthem Conference Center. So it's a wonderful facility. It's accessible to everyone, whether you have disabilities or whatever, and we got lots of room out there, and of course it's a beautiful facility that's camera ready,
right,
so that we can simulcast, as we will be doing on channels
high definition this year.
Absolutely.
High definition, yes. Channels 28,
also on the World Wide Web.
On Comcast.
Yep. We'll be on Comcast. It'll be tape delay. That'll be channel 21. It'll be also
starting
on channel 28.
4 o'clock in the afternoon.
On channel 28, which is Portland Public School Station. It'll also be webcast on the Anthem channel.
All right. So you can get it on the web. And, of course,
right,
KBOO is international.
That's right.
And so we got it covered. Thanks to this young lady here, Teresa, let me jump in,
because I want Teresa to come in and talk about this. But I just really want to take this time to acknowledge all of you, really, and it's an honor for me to be in the company of such folks. Of course, Donnie, he's done work with the Urban League and as well as with the World Arts Foundation and a dedicated community activist, and of course Ken Berry, as he mentioned when we came and started this ball rolling, so to speak, here at KBOO Studios with the late George Page as our inspiration. And of course, Teresa, who's done so much with making herself known in the political circles of speaking up for the community and community interests here in Northeast Portland and beyond. So I just really want to take just a moment. But One of the things I just really want to address is, you know, this has been going on since 1980, and we're talking about what sustains you people, you know, and what, you know, what it is that sustains the energy. And we can hear the energy in your voices. I hear the energy anytime I talk with Ken. I'm inspired, you know, looking at his dedication and his commitment to this entity for so long. But Teresa, what is it that sustains us? What is it that promotes this kind of energy for all of you being involved?
Well, man, the only thing that I can say about that is tradition. I think that what Ken and Michael and Donnie and the rest of the team have brought together for our community is we've created a solid traditional situation for our families, for our communities, for businesses here in the city of Portland and throughout the state of Oregon. And that's something hard to come by, especially with times now where people are talking about gentrification and, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't happy about our state of affairs here. We're talking about equity over equality. And so my thing is that, you know, not only is this a program that's dedicated to the life and all of the things that Dr. King brought about, but it's also a family reunion for the people of Oregon, because we don't get a lot of time to spend with each other like we used to. We were looking at some of the programs from past years, and the audience was packed. And when I look at packed, it was families packed in together. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're hoping happens now. We have a big venue, and like Donnie said, it's visually stimulating, but it would be even more adorable to us if we had those families there. You know, bring the elders, which you bring your uncles and aunties, and don't just spend the time when it's, you know, a serious holiday or something going on in the family that comes about because of tragedy. Come out and celebrate time together. I mean, we're going to be there from 11 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. We got great food and we got space for vendors and things of that sort. So just come out and pay tribute to your community by uniting with them in celebration.
Tell me about the website.
Ken had us hire a beautiful woman named Elle Jones, who's put together a great website for us. It's World Arts PDX. And everything that we put on our social media streamlines through that website, so you get to see updated pictures. Like the ones we just posted are already on the website. The bios of everybody that's a part of the program, different information. There's downloads for the registration packets and volunteer packets. And we're hoping to engage the audience after the program by putting all of the things that happen during the events, but also adding some educational factors in there so that we can continue our knowledge of self and those whose shoulders we stand upon today.
And I know that the television broadcast will be rebroadcast from periodically. Ken, really, really quickly, Ken, I know that, you know, you've been involved with the youth for so long in the community. Your work with Portland Public Schools, I think, is well known. And I was looking at TV the other day and was talking about the four little girls in Mississippi and Alabama who were killed in the church bombing situation. And I think it's so important that our youth, and this is something that the World Arts Foundation has really, really just been stressing in terms of the choirs and the youth that choirs that you present. Why is that important in terms of message is about?
To me, first of all, there's research that validates the fact that the arts are very much positive in the development of every person's mind. And it's a non-threatening approach. We use the arts as a vehicle, but also we are educating. And sometimes I use the term psychological warfare. There's a song that we're going to be featuring because, again, I want to give Teresa credit because of her vision of old freedom. It's just ironic that Nelson Mandela passes this past, you know, 2 months here. And all of a sudden the theme is even more applicable to what we're doing, is the fact that Danny Osborne, and as AJ and all of us were in my basement going through some old videos, back around 1987, Donnie, you may remember, Danny Osborne wrote a song called You Can't Break My Spirit, which was a tribute to Nelson Mandela when he was in jail. We're going to be featuring that piece within the context of the program this year, and at the same time celebrating the life of Nelson Mandela, because we want our folks to be informed about the history from whence we've come. Yes, we made progress, but guess what? We still have a long ways to go. So my inspiration has been, Shaheed, when I see you, you my inspiration, okay? When I think about George Page, he's my inspiration. Dupree Casey, Lanita Duke, Kevin Berry, J.W. Friday, just to name a few of the folks in our community who have sacrificed and really given a lot. And I think it's important to point out the fact that this program is a result of KBOO Radio in 1980. Prior to Dr. King's birthday becoming a national holiday in 1985, George Page is the one that said, we need to make sure that we preempt our programming each year to inform the community. And we started in the warehouse when KBOO rather was located downtown in the warehouse. Don, you remember that? Yes, and my mom was involved
on Yamhill.
That's right, that's right. And prior to coming here, that's when the program actually began, 1980.
Let me Donnie, also mention, Shaheed.
Yeah, Donnie, because I really want you to talk about the 50th anniversary as well of that aspect, but go ahead.
Right. I wanted to go back to your question about or thought about involving youth. And this year, as we have traditionally done, we've got all kinds of kids performing. We're going to have Fabian Rigler and Scott Elementary kids performing under the direction of Chuck Barber, who's over at Cleveland. We're going to have Irvington Elementary School, Buckman Elementary School, the Jefferson Dancers, Buckman Dancers, just a number of kids, Franklin High School. So we get the kids involved, particularly from the Portland School District. And again, as Ken said, it's a way to, through arts, to teach them about the importance of the civil rights movement. And we're also, this year in our program, going to have some information about our local civil rights history, because you know, a lot of people don't know this is the only state in the Union that was admitted to the Union with exclusionary laws that said black people couldn't even live here and own property. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be educating people through this wonderful program.
As well as entertaining.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We want to mention the fact that we're looking at the cultural aspect as well. For example, the First Nation Dancers will be performing this year, along with some other cultural groups as well, because we want to make sure that we're all a part of this celebration. And we have a couple national acts we should also compliment on before we bring Janice involved here, is Ada and Ray Tellis, who was part of the original MLK program in 1985 at Whitaker Middle School. They're coming to do a special number for us. They live back east in North Carolina. They're coming in to do an act. And also Blue Mitchell, who is a Hollywood actor, producer, writer, singer. He's coming up to do A Change Is Gonna Come.
Right,
so
on.
Let's get ready for that.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ken, you've been doing this for really, you've made a commitment over the years, and we know that it takes a lot to put all this together. How do you each year decide on what to do and what to put together and your themes and so forth? I mean, do they just jump out at you?
No. It's influenced by hundreds of people. I don't know if sometimes I get tired because I have to hear so many people's comments, and I say, why me? And each year I say, I don't think I want to do this again. But for some reason, something lifts me up when I fall down the ground, my face is down, lifts me up, say, boy, you got to do it again. So thanks again to the energy support of all of our team members, because you know our theme is teamwork makes the dream work. So it's not Ken Berry, it's not World Arts, it's an influence of a whole lot of spirits, a whole lot of voices that we listen to. And speaking of voices, I want to get Janice Hopkins in here in just a moment too, because she's doing a fantastic job, because it's not just the team itself, it's about the volunteers. And Janice Hopkins, who is just a tireless person, who basically makes sure that our volunteers, we have as many as 150 to 200 volunteers that come through each year. To be frank and honest with you, we have more than enough volunteers, but we don't want to turn anyone away. Mm-hmm. We don't want to turn anyone away. We want to make sure that we are including as many people as possible so they feel a part of this, because it's not about this one day, because the theme is not only a day on,
right,
and throughout the year. Okay?
So let's bring Janice in. And in the meantime, I want to just touch base with Teresa one more time, more than one more time actually, but What are some of the things that got you involved in this whole effort, Teresa?
Well, Teresa just stepped out, so she can let Janice
out.
Come
okay,
in.
What
but
about
that's okay,
Janice?
But Janice
okay.
is here. Actually, Janice. Teresa will come back and talk right, about right. her piece, other things that she's involved with. But
is Donnie
Janice.
Still here?
Yes.
Yep.
Hello.
Oh, okay, Janice. Okay. Yeah. Janice, maybe you can just kind of update us on what this means from your vantage point.
Oh,
this
means
celebration means.
Oh, this celebration means a lot, and what impresses me is that it's never lost its focus or its mm-hmm. mission, you know, and it directly aligns with Dr. King's vision for a better America, you know, for a hopeful place so that our kids can continue to grow and be proud of who they are and their heritage and be proud of the struggle, you know, that their forefathers were a part of, you know, and understand the importance of identity and self-esteem. Without a good, healthy self-esteem, you cannot move forward. You cannot be productive, you know. So Keep Alive the Dream is doing exactly what it says. It's keeping it alive, not only on paper, but in our hearts, mm-hmm. you know, and in our minds, so that our young people can grow up and be strong and be able to contribute, you know, to this country that we live in, and to be able to teach others, you know. So so it means a lot to me, and I am very grateful to be a part of this. Of this vision.
I think we should also commend Janice Shahid on the fact that mm-hmm. she tirelessly works with young people throughout the year. No Kidding Choir, which is doing a special fundraising. Why don't you talk about your fundraising piece you're doing in addition to that?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Ken. No Kidding Choir, this is our 28th year, and it's we teach gospel music to children as a way, you know, we teach them about God's love, but also we teach them about performance and sharing with others and expressing themselves. And so this summer, my husband and I will have an opportunity to go to Cameroon, Africa to duplicate that program mm-hmm. with the children there in Cameroon for about a month, in the month of June. So we've launched a fundraiser called boosters.com. And the name of our mission is Gospel Music Beyond the Walls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you want people to come away with? And I can address this to each and every one of you. What do you want people to come away with this year after attending this year's celebration of Keeping the Dream Alive? And we want to remind folks that this takes place on January the 20th, Monday, January the 20th, 11 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. I think it's been mentioned before, but it's at the Anthem Convention Center, located at 3300 Northeast 172nd Place, right off Sandy Boulevard. And it's about standing on the shoulders of those who went before, as Ken says. But what do you want people to come away with feeling from this event, Janice?
You know, I want them to walk away with a sense of community, that we're not divided, that we can stand together as one. And I think Dr. King really emphasized that in his I Have a Dream speech, which changed the course of history for our nation. And, you know, people to walk away that we are connected. We are not a disconnected people. We're only disconnected if we choose to be. Mm-hmm. But we can make that choice to remain connected, so we can all, you know, stand mm-hmm. together for justice, for fairness, you know, stand together for a stronger America, to stand together, you know, on behalf of our children and then our children's children, we can continue mm-hmm. With the strong heritage that we also possess.
I think that's one of the things that I know I've walked away with every year that I've been involved, which has almost been from the beginning. Ken, you make a real effort to highlight the diversity in terms of some of the choirs that you bring to the stage, and some of the folks that you recognize. How important is that?
I think that's very important, not only to bring in the cultural aspect, but also to have everyone involved. Because one of the things we try to do is not oversaturate with speakers, but we're very fortunate. We have the support this year of Senator Jeff Merkley. We have the support of Commissioner Nick Fish. We have the support of George Hocker, just to name a few of the what we consider public dignitaries who are going to be coming to help support and embrace what we're doing. Lou Frederick is also a part of this year's program. And he's been with us every single solitary year. Sue Barkley, who's a teacher at Franklin High School, we look at her as being a mentee of the late Dr. Charles Hobson, who contributed so much to the development of this program. Matter of fact, Dr. Hobson is the one that encouraged us to move the program to University of Portland and facilitated that process back in 19. 1990, I'm sorry, 2000 that was, 2000 we did that. And so again, another part of the program we do is to try to honor those people who have passed on before us, because again, standing on the shoulders, we don't want to forget whose shoulders we're standing on. Mm-hmm. And so part of the printed program, which we just started last night, thanks to the input for Janice, Teresa, Donnie, and just Michael, and just a few of the folks, we're trying to use the printed program as a vehicle by which to preserve tradition, history, and life from our community. Okay? So that's the kind of approach we're taking so far.
Well, Ken, again, thank you. I'm sorry we don't have more time, but we will be addressing this as we get closer to the January 20th date. And we want to thank you and everyone for coming down to the station today to let our audience know how important it is for us to stand on our shoulders, stand on the shoulders of those who went before. And
Shahid, really, again, thank you so much for
coming.
Keeping the community informed.
Absolutely.
On the most important issues. We appreciate you so much.
Yeah, that is so important. Just before I go, just one question, Ken. When you look back over the years that you've been involved, what are you most proud of with your work of doing this year after year, doing economic hard times, economic good times, all kinds of times that you've been involved? What are you most proud of when you look at your work?
I am most proud of the collaboration and the cooperation of the total team. Because one of the things I say each year is that by the time we finish our meeting for 3 months of preparation, everyone is a producer. Everyone is making the program happen. And what I basically do, my joy, is to sit back, relax, and do very little work on the day of the program.
All right. And the program, once again, keeping the dream alive, January the 20th. Okay, keep alive the dream in so many ways. Join the World Arts Foundation and all of those involved. January 20th, Monday, 11 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. at Anthem Convention Center, 3300 Northeast 172nd Avenue. As we stand on the shoulders. Yours truly, Shahid, for It Takes a Village. Until the first Friday of next month, peace. We're out.
That was Shahid Hamid with It Takes a Village. Coming up on the Radio Zine, Hosarika Mehta interviews Mirta Ojito, a reporter who has worked for the Miami Herald and the New York Times. Her most recent book is Hunting Season, Immigration and Murder in an All-American Town. Stay tuned.
Thanks for tuning in to KABU. I'm Sarika Mehta. Today on the Radio Zine, an interview with Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter Mirta Ojito. She's the author of Hunting Season, Immigration and Murder in an All-American Town, which investigates a hate crime on a Latino man in Long Island, New York. Mirta Ojito joined me by phone from New York. The book equally investigates the community sentiments of Latinos moving into their town, the local politician's choice of language around immigration, and the fuller picture of community members' family histories in Patchogue, New York. The main event that inspired this book is the murder of Marcelo Lucero, an undocumented Ecuadorian immigrant living in Patchogue, New York. He was taking a walk with his friend Angel Loja when they were attacked by a group of teenagers who were out to, quote-unquote, hunt for beaners.
So they were, Marcelo Lucero and Angel Loja were walking near the train station, and they saw a group of young men. I don't think they could tell from the distance that they were teenagers approaching. And I don't know when Marcelo fought, because by the time I came to the story, of course, he was already dead. But I know that Angel immediately realized that they were going to be attacked, and he reacted accordingly. He called out to Marcelo to watch out. Angel is an athlete. He used to play basketball, so he has pretty good reflexes. And he jumped and he ran to an alley. Marcelo stood his ground and fought. He took off his belt and fought back. And I think it cost him his life. His boys were known, well, they confessed to having attacked other people the very same day. In fact, minutes before the attack on Marcelo and Angel, they had attacked a naturalized U.S. citizen, a Colombian immigrant, who had lived in the country for more than 30 years. But that person ran away and saved his life. And they had attacked others, as they said in their confession. And I think the fact that Marcelo fought was detrimental in this case. And so they stabbed him. Jeffrey Conroy stabbed him.